96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're taking a look at some of the top stories and issues impacting the Black community. Issues and stories you may not have heard a lot about. As always, I'm joined by a panel to help me pick apart these issues and stories. Hillary Shelton is director of the Washington Bureau of the NAACP. Dr. Janae Nelson is a political analyst and activist. And Mark Carr is founder of Social Solutions. If you have a question or a comment, if you want to join this conversation, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or DailyDrumWHUR. Dr. Nelson, Mr. Shelton, Mr. Carr, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Thank you.
Dr. Nelson, can you hear me?
I absolutely can. Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. I appreciate it. Okay, first things first, let's talk about some issues related to crime in the African American community. We have seen a lot of issues that have come up very, very recently. Certainly it's been a violent summer here in Washington, D.C. We have seen in neighboring Prince George's County, we've seen some concerns about a rise in crime. Of course, Baltimore has seen serious problems regarding crime in the city. There was a ceasefire that was proposed by community activists on Friday that for 72 hours, there would be no killing in Baltimore. That did not happen. There were two murders over the weekend. But interestingly enough, just today, D.C.'s police chief made this comment about crime in the district.
Crime is a very complicated issue. I've said this before. There's a lot of things that contribute to crime in our city. Probably the number one thing that contributes to crime in our city is a lack of opportunity. As you know, the mayor and the directors of all the city agencies have been working very hard to make this a city where there is opportunity for those who otherwise would not have it.
Mark, I'll start with you. That wasn't a statement about crime from a police chief. That sounded to me like a statement from a politician.
Yes, and the idea that people need more opportunity, I think, is right on. I think people do need access to jobs. People need access to affordable health care, because a lot of crime also stems from mental health issues. People need access to affordable housing. All of these things are deterrents to crime. But when you look at the spending that the city has, you know, you can argue that the spending is more towards law enforcement. I know last year for the president, the Mayor Bowser's administration actually wanted to increase spending in law enforcement as a deterrent to crime. And so I definitely agree with what the police chief said, but I also would want to see the city put its money where its mouth is.
Mr. Shelton, what is going on in our American cities, in our Black communities? Why are we still seeing so many high-profile Black-on-Black crime situations?
I think there are a number of things that contribute. Hopelessness is a good point, I think, was being made here just a minute ago as well. If people don't have hope, they don't believe there's an opportunity in the future for them, they don't see themselves and as a vision of the future, then they're going to fall into desperation. And desperation combined with things like the easy access to guns and whatnot in our society, as you know, now we have easier access than ever before legally. As we think about guns in our communities, a concealed carry permit is something that's extremely easy to get. Even D.C., a city that did not want easy access to guns, had it forced upon us by the Supreme Court and federal agencies and so forth. So we're moving in a direction we don't want to go into. But when there's real opportunity, an opportunity to have ownership. If you believe in the community that you're in, if you're able to own your own home, to have a good job and have the wonderful feelings of bringing home an income for your family and taking care of your own, then you're less likely to have these kind of problems. People that have a lot are going to work hard not to lose it. So they're not going to do stupid things if they can, like pull out their gun and shoot somebody because they swerved in front of them in a car, or in their neighborhood the neighbor's dog left something on the lawn they didn't like, and they decide to get a gun and use it not only on the neighbor but on the dog as well. In essence, when we have real hope and real opportunity, that means you have something to lose. When you have something to lose, you're less likely to get in trouble. Even if you've gone to jail, if you've gained something when you've come out, you're less likely to go back if you feel like you've actually gained something in the process. So I think we're still living under a number of challenges and concerns, whether we're looking at the homicide rate, the graduation rate from high schools and graduation rate from colleges for African Americans and others. If you look at the footing that we've still not been able to fully accomplish, and that is that during the big economic downturn of 2008-2009, over 50% of African Americans lost their wealth through their homes. Like most Americans, our wealth is actually through our homes, money that makes more money that helps you plan for the future. With all that in mind, we're still gaining our footing again. Economic footing, jobs. We're seeing that the unemployment rate is closing. We're very grateful to a lot of the leadership that came out of the Obama administration that started moving us in the right direction and other issues along those lines. But we're still contending with a government that does not understand what we need in the African-American community. They're still using a cookie-cutter approach to determining what's going on rather than seeing that we need a tailored solution.
Well, do you agree with that, Dr. Nelson?
Well, the one thing I do want to say, Harold, I first want to dispel this nomer of this black-on-black crime. There's no such thing. You're more likely to commit crime against someone you're in a neighborhood with, and we do not call white-on-white crime the same thing. So I want to be very clear.
Stop you. That's what I'm talking about. Because I completely disagree with that, and I don't want to get into semantics. What has happened in the District of Columbia, what has happened in Baltimore, what has happened in Chicago, these are black folks killing black folks. I'm not talking so much about the white on the so-called that we don't call. No, these are black folks killing black folks, Dr. Nelson.
Absolutely.
I do not want us to get bogged down in semantics. If you had a black man who accidentally shot his half brother, who is also black, on the metro on Sunday, and this was as a result of three other young black men, what do you call it?
You don't call it black on black crime. You just call it crime. And I say that to you because it doesn't, when you say that it's black on black crime, what you are saying, what you're posturing, and what we create is this identity of a black person as a criminal. And this, black people are not any more criminally prone than others. When you use that term, that's what it's loaded to mean, right? Because what it's doing is it's cementing the idea in somebody else's mind that that's what black people are, right? And it's not that black people are criminals, it is that they are put in positions where they're, like your guests have said, where there's deep desperation, and so it turns them then to participating in crime. But we as a people are not any more prone to being involved in criminal activity than anybody else.
Okay, so can I get an approval and say crime in the black community? Because that's what we're talking about.
That's absolutely fine.
Crime, like I said, that's semantics. And again, and let me say this,
but semantics are important. Naming what it is extremely important, right? Because we have an administration right now who is coldly saying things that have a direct meaning as far as removing rights away from people of color and the disadvantaged and the disenfranchised. And so words and how we name things are extremely important because we're seeing that right now in the administration that we're dealing with.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about stories that are impacting the black community, some issues that you may or may not have heard about. If you want to get in on this conversation, please give us a call. Mr. Carr, you were going to say something.
Yes, I just want to say you can't talk about crime in the black community without talking about all of the socioeconomic factors that impact us. When you look at D.C. and wards 5, 7, and 8, state. You have the highest rates of crime, the highest rates of violence, but you also have the highest rates of unemployment, the highest rates of underemployment, a very low rate of educational attainment. So I think when you talk about crime in the black community, you can't really have that conversation without talking about all the other socioeconomic issues that to me are that in many cases foster those high concentrations of violence in our community.
I want to ask Mr. Shelton about something that he mentioned, and this is so critical because I can't honestly say that this is necessarily a socioeconomic issue on the face of it, because the police chief of Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski, commented that some of the crimes that we have seen in middle class Prince George's County have less to do with, in many cases, drugs and people that are at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum. But these are folks that are just pissed off. Like you said, somebody gets mad because a dog left something in their well-manicured, middle-class, well-educated lawn, and they get mad and they go get a gun. That has nothing to do with drugs. That has nothing to do with what's going on there.
Well, you have values issues as well. Don't get me wrong about those kind of things. Certainly, economics plays a major role when we're thinking about crime in our communities. People are simply trying to survive, and we appreciate that side of the equation as well. But there's some other issues too. I mean, the issue of gun violence, I think about quite a bit, because when we look at the number of people that die as a result of gun violence, we see it's extremely high among African Americans, extremely high. As a matter of fact, 40% of all the children that are killed in our society by guns from birth to 18 years of age are African American. That raises some major concerns. So we're thinking about groupings of 15 to 19-year-olds. It's even higher than that. Those are all not driven by economic conditions. They're all not driven by need. Oftentimes, they're driven by easy access to things. Look, a study was done some years ago that looked at women and guns as an example. And the question to a woman who shot their mates, the people that slept next to them every night, there was a big argument and whatnot.
Deadly domestic violence.
Exactly. Yeah. The first thing they did was reach for something to deal with their mate. Now, the question was then asked after they shot their mate to death, what would you have done if the gun hadn't been there? And said, well, I probably picked up the lamp and thrown it at him. Well, the possibilities of a lamp being what causes death is a whole lot different than a gun in many of these circumstances. Yet guns are easier to get to today than ever before. And if we look at the gun-related homicides, we know that we're up to over 33,000 a year in our society, and that number's going up. And they're saying the only reason is that low, shootings are even higher than that. But technology to save lives has increased so much that we've lost fewer people as a result of it. So when we're thinking about these issues, we have to think about values as well in our communities. And you're right. Someone who's under the pressures of living in a well-to-do, a middle and upper middle class community.
Why can't you work it out? Why can't you walk away?
Well, exactly.
Well, I think the big thing here that's not really being discussed is the fact that in so many ways, blacks were told, and we were all hook, line, and sinker believing, that after Obama, we were going to be in a post-racial society. And what we have seen is that his presidency has kind of ripped the skin back on a lot of the things that were bubbling underneath the surface. And so the only way that you get to shooting somebody because their dog left something on your yard is when you get to rage. And rage is only anger that's displaced. Mm-hmm. And that anger oftentimes is displaced in our communities because, you know, after the crash, we've been always on the promise of it's going to get better, it's going to get better. Well, when do I look around and it's actually better, right? Yes, I'm in this middle-class neighborhood, but as we all know, since the rebounding of the housing crisis, Prince George's County was one of the hardest hit, and they have not seen the values of their homes go back up in the same way as their neighboring Montgomery County did, right? So what we're seeing is that although there may not be the same level of desperation in a middle class, I would argue there's more pressure to then perform while things are still, from a systematic standpoint, pressing down on you.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're looking at some of the top stories and issues impacting the black community. Some of them, obviously, you may not have heard a lot about in the headlines, but we are drilling down on these issues tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I've got to take a break, but if you're on the phone, Kim in Silver Spring, we're going to talk to you. Ronald in Maryland, we're also going to talk to you. Lines are open if you have a question or comment. We will get to you. If you have difficulty getting in, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone call. Coming up also, we're going to talk about the affirmative action order that has come out of the Justice Department. What does this mean for black colleges and universities? What does it mean for some of the other colleges and universities? And also that travel advisory in the state of Missouri, the NAACP in Missouri is saying black folks and people of color, beware. We're going to talk about that as well. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.